Hello, and welcome to the Transgene First Half 2023 Financial Results and Business Update Call. Please note this conference is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Lucie Larguier, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, François. Hello, everyone. I'm Lucie, Director of IR at Transgene. I have the pleasure today to introduce you to Dr. Alessandro Riva, our Chairman and CEO, along with several members of the executive committee. So you will have Eric Quéméneur, CSO, Maud Brandely, Chief Medical Officer, Jean-Philippe Del, CFO, and Christophe Ancel, VP Pharmaceutical Operations. We will review today's news regarding on the progress of the first half of this year and answer any questions you may have. Before I turn over the call to Alessandro, I'd like to remind everyone that today's discussion contains forward-looking statements, which are subject to numerous risks and uncertainties. If you're listening to this webcast via the Internet, you will not be able to ask questions, so if you wish so, please make sure you join us via the conference call numbers that are available in the press release. You can also directly send me an email at larguier@transgene.fr, and I'll be happy to read your questions. With this, I now turn the call over to Alessandro Riva.
Thank you, Lucie, and thank you for joining today's call. It's a real pleasure to update you on the progress of Transgene. I spent the last 3 months getting to know the company, its employees, and its program in details. It has been a very enriching experience that has confirmed Transgene's mission to push scientific boundaries in a very highly innovative fields of therapeutic vaccine and oncolytic viruses. During the next few minutes, I will update you on our portfolio and in particular, the leading compounds that are in clinical development. TG4050, our individualized therapeutic cancer vaccine, is a clear example of our ability to innovate by combining the identification of immunogenic mutations through the artificial intelligence and the latest advances in personalized medicine manufacturing. As you certainly know, earlier this year at the ACR and ASCO congresses, we presented highly promising immunological data in a randomized phase I trial conducted in the adjuvant setting of head and neck cancer patients. All evaluable patients have developed a cellular immune response after treatment with TG4050 as a single agent. The response was directed against several target neoantigens in all evaluable patients and included both newly generated and amplified responses against the class one and class two antigens, in addition to a notable increase of effector CD4 and CD8 T cell. Importantly, the engagement of a broad T cell response is crucial in enhancing the chances of delay the risk of recurrence. It is worth noting that all treated patients in this randomized phase I trial are still disease-free, while two have relapsed in the control arm. We believe that our individualized viral vector-based vaccine is very promising and may differentiate from the current individualized neoantigen therapeutic vaccine in development. Based on this very solid proof of principle, Transgene, together with its partner, NEC, plans to launch a randomized phase II trial in head and neck cancer in the adjuvant setting in 2024. We will continue to update you on the ongoing phase I trial with additional immunological data as they become available, and also clinical follow-up that will be presented during the first half of 2024. Moving on to the next program, our HPV-positive cancer therapeutic vaccine, TG4001, remains an important therapeutic vaccine within an evolving treatment landscape. We are running a randomized phase 2 trial that compares TG4001 in combination with avelumab versus avelumab in HPV-induced anogenital cancer patients that have not received prior therapy with checkpoint inhibitors. We announced it late last year that following a pre-planned progression-free survival interim analysis, the members of the Independent Data Monitoring Committee have recommended that the study continues. The trial currently intends to randomize a total of 120 patients. At ASCO earlier this year, we presented a poster showing that TG4001 induced a specific immune response against the vectorized antigens. In particular, 11 out of 13 patients with an immune response had either stable, partial, or complete tumor response according to the international RECIST criteria. Also, two patients with a strong epitope 6 and 7 immune response experienced a complete clinical response. We are observing a progressive slowdown in patient recruitment in the trial due to the recent availability of new treatments in first-line and second-line cervical cancer. In response to this situation, we are assessing all options to have data readout from the trial by the end of 2024. We continue to believe that there is a very strong unmet medical need in HPV-positive cancer patients, including cervical cancer and head and neck cancer. Transgene is currently in active discussion with all stakeholders to define the optimal path forward to continue development of TG4001 in the most appropriate target patient population. Moving now to our oncolytic virus portfolio. As you know, Transgene capitalized on its viral vector expertise to develop another type of innovative immunotherapy, the oncolytic viruses. Oncolytic viruses, with their selective replication in tumor cells only, are ideal cargo transporters inducing site-specific expression of proteins in the tumor to boost the immune response. With the ability to be administered intravenously, our novel INVIR IO platform-based candidate can really be differentiated from our oncolytic viruses in development. Our leading intravenous candidate is TG6050, a novel oncolytic virus that vectorizes interleukin-12 and anti-CTL4 antibody. We have decided to move the compound into clinic based on very encouraging preclinical data showing a sustained expression of interleukin-12 in tumors, remodeling of the tumor microenvironment, activation of numerous innate and adaptive immune pathways, and a very strong anti-tumor activity in several mice models. The first patients in our ongoing clinical trial in relapsed refractory non-small cell lung cancer was treated with monotherapy TG6050 in May this year. We plan to complete the trial in second half 2024, which will be the basis of a future potential evaluation in combination with an immune checkpoint inhibitor. Moving on into our intratumoral oncolytic virus program in collaboration with BioInvent, we communicated positive phase 1 data with BT-001 in solid tumors in May 2023. Out of 18 patients who received escalating doses of BT-001, two showed a decrease of injected lesion size of 50% or more, and 11 out of 18 had a stabilization of the injected lesion. Safety data was also satisfactory. We are now progressing the trial with our co-development partner BioInvent and MSD was supplying pembrolizumab for use in combination with BT-001. The combination part of the trial with pembrolizumab is due to start in Q4 2023. A few words on finance. As you have seen, Transgene has extended its cash runway from early 2024 until the end of 2024. This was made possible by non-dilutive financing in the form of a non-current account advance from our leading shareholder, Institut Mérieux. This additional funding will allow us to focus on delivering key value-creating milestones next year, including significant additional clinical data on all programs in clinical development, as well as the start of a TG4050 randomized phase 2 trial for head and neck cancer patients in the adjuvant setting. The rest of our financials are very much in line with our expectation, and Gianfilippo will be more than happy to answer questions you have during the Q&A session. I hope that this brief overview has clearly highlighted the potential of our immunotherapy pipeline. As you can see, our strategy builds on our strong portfolio of assets and the significant innovation and differentiation they can bring to patients with solid tumors. Innovation and differentiation are at the center of what we are doing here at Transgene, with an approach that allows us to maximize the chances of success for all key stakeholders. Over the last 4 months since taking up my role as a CEO, there's been lots of detailed assessments, significant internal discussion, and very careful forward planning. I believe that Transgene is on the path to an exciting future ahead, and I look forward to telling you more about our plans in the coming months as we progress. The team and I will now take your question. Lucy?
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question or make a contribution on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Please ensure your lines are unmuted locally, as you'll be prompted when to ask your question. And our first question comes from a line of Martial Descoutures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Marcel Lecouture from Oddo BHF. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question concerns the development of TG4050. In phase 1, the objective is to achieve 18 months without relapse. So we are at more than or broadly 10 or 11 months at this step, I think. So we could expect to achieve, according to me, this objective in Q2 next year. So my question is, will you wait this data to adjust your trial, or could you launch the phase 2 before this data? It is my first question. I have another maybe a general question for Alessandro, if I may. Last week, Moderna highlighted during its Capital Market Day the challenges to produce its oncology vaccine. So, how do you consider the Transgene position in terms of manufacturing at this step? Do you also see maybe a few changes in short or midterm? And what do you expect for the midterm? And my third question is maybe for Jean-Philippe, if you are here. We observe in your publication an increase of your other expenses. So it's just my model. Could you give us maybe more details on this aspect? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Maybe I start from the first question, and that is about the 4050 and the initiation of the phase 2 trial based on the phase 1 data. Of course, we'll continue to update the community on the phase 1 study, and in particular, We will have the immunogenicity data for all patients entered in the randomized phase one study that we plan to present at the ACR or ASCO, you know, next year. And of course, we will have the information before the official presentation. This is a very important milestone for us to consolidate, you know, our decision to move forward with the randomized phase two study. And then, you know, we will have the updated follow-up analysis. We will have the 2-year follow-up analysis in July 2024 for the randomized phase one trial. However, you know, we are going to start the what we call the startup activities related to the trial before receiving the 2-year follow-up data in July 2024. In other words, we are going to start to activate the startup activities, a little bit, I would say, at risk, in order to prepare to launch the recruitment immediately after. So you will see, you know, some activities during the first semester of 2024, but, you know, the official, I would say, you know, speed up of recruitment will happen immediately afterwards. So that's for your first question. For your second question, I guess you assume, if I understand the question, you're asking about the manufacturing optimization with regards to the 4050?
Yes. Sorry. Yes, it's for 4050 and the other asset in your portfolio.
Right. So one of the strengths of Transgene is that we have our internal manufacturing you know, capability to support the early phases of development of our compounds, both from a therapeutic vaccine perspective and also oncolytic viruses perspective. However, we also realize that as the programs move to the next step, and for example, you know, TG 4050, our personalized cancer vaccine, we will need also to strengthen our capability to make sure that we can speed up and recruit quickly in the new trial in the randomized phase two of head and neck. There is also a component, as you know, for the personalized cancer vaccine of the lead time, that is the time between the biopsy and the vaccine available to be infused to patients. So we are also committed to work, I would say, very closely on this matter in order to make sure that we continue to improve the lead time to make the vaccine available to patients and therefore, of course, to strengthen the recruitment even better and also to open a potential also, you know, new indications that may be very interesting for a personalized cancer vaccine. So, of course, I cannot comment about Moderna and what they are doing. You know better than me what they have shared in the public domain. And now I guess I turn on Jean-Philippe that will answer your financial question.
Yeah, thank you, Alessandro. Hello, Martial. So you're right that we have seen an increase in other expenses in the first half of 23. This increase comes for decision that we took in early 23 to definitely stop our infectious disease activities and to close our labs in Lyon. So we have a one-shot cut here at the end of June 23, corresponding to the cost of this of this site.
Thank you very much. It's really clear. Thanks a lot.
The next question comes from a line of Bo Zhang from Intron Health. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I got a couple. Going back to the 4001 program, you mentioned a slowdown in patient enrollment and you want to adopt different methods to ensure a readout. Could you elaborate a bit more on what type of methodology that you have in mind? And then perhaps a follow-up to that, does that mean we will expect to see a higher sort of R&D cost associated with enrollment? and together with the initiation of 4050, what does that mean for the R&D costs going forward in 2024? Thank you.
Maybe I start from the second question. So there will be no impact whatsoever on the R&D cost, with regards to the potential next step on the trial with 4001. So of course we cannot disclose the methodological details, but the bottom line is that we'll make every effort to have a readout of the trial within the year 2024, while keeping a statistical power that is considered a good one to have data interpretation. So then, again, we cannot discuss the details, but of course we'll communicate it in a formal way as soon as we have also an agreement with our clinical partner, Merck Serono, that is supporting the trial with Avelumab. So in other words, no impact on our spending. We are committed to have a readout in 2024 with a statistical power that is kind of credible to have an interpretation of the randomized phase 2 data. I guess these were your two questions.
Thank you for that. Can you also comment on sort of the R&D expense expectation for that in 2024?
You mean for 4001?
Overall R&D expense for 2024, please.
So we did not disclose the detail of our expected cash burn for 24, but as you can imagine, we'll do our best to keep the level of R&D expenses at the same level that we have today, or we will have a slight increase, but this should be a matter in our expenses.
Yeah, overall, I would say that our expenditure for 2024, are not very significant what you are observing in 2023. So, we will keep the spending, overall kind of flat plus and minus, but that's not very significant. But of course, by applying discipline in the way we spend money, and we think also that we have an appropriate prioritization in our portfolio across clinical development compounds and research. So you will see plus or minus the same kind of spending that you are observing now in 2023.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no further questions, so I'll hand you back to Lucy to reply to some written questions.
Yes, thank you. I received some questions from Jamila and Borini from Invest Securities by email. So one of the questions is with regards to the signing of the funding with Institut Mérieux. So she assumes that the funds are available as of today, and wanted to understand why there is a sort of a delay in initiating the phase 2 trial of 4050 in 2024 versus end of 2023, if we have the available resources. And another question, still on 4050, is to know whether our plan is to go with a phase 2 followed by a pivotal phase 3 trial, or if we want to stick to the idea to have a very robust phase 2 that could potentially be considered as pivotal depending on the results that will be obtained and discussions with regulator and agencies.
Okay, so I thank you for the question. I start from the first one. So the delay in the initiation of the randomized phase 2 in head and neck cancer patients is not related to budget or financing reasons, but essentially because we made the decision to have a consultation with the Food and Drug Administration around the randomized phase 2 study, and to have a sense from them of what they think about trial design and also the manufacturing that is associated, the manufacturing process that is associated to this important trial. And of course, you know, based on their feedback also, we will have a sense on whether this study may be considered eventually as potentially for a subpart H accelerated approval moving forward. So we think that, you know, before embarking into the finalization of the trial design, the input from the Food and Drug Administration is very important. And also because we wanted to expose this trial to U.S. Head and neck cancer patients. So that's essentially, I would say, the reason, no financial kind of reasons, but really methodological reasons, you know, that we would like to kind of strengthen based on the input from the Food and Drug Administration. I guess, yeah, this will be. And then whether there is a phase two followed by phase three, again, this will depend from the FDA input today, and also it will depend on the evolving landscape in head and neck patients. And we are convinced that, you know, if we have a very strong randomized phase two trial with clear disease-free survival data, with a reliable follow-up that usually is at least 2 years follow-up, we can discuss with the agency the potential to have an accelerated approval in United States of America and eventually conditional approval in Europe. So these are the two questions from...
I think we don't have any other questions, either the internet or phone. Maybe you want to have your closing statement,
Alessandro? I think it's ever just to say thank you for people that have joined the call. We look forward for further updating you as our pipeline and our business strategy progresses. And please not hesitate to reach out to Lucy or me or Jean-Philippe for any questions. Thank you very much and a great afternoon or evening. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your lines.
Hello.